Hope everyone is doing well. Today is a new day. I did have a little bit of a trouble sleeping last night because of all the things that are happening in the world. And some of you know my story, and some of you know that I come from a war-torn country personally myself. And there's some people sitting here as well that are coming from former Yugoslavia. And I was just talking to someone after the first service, and I said, you know, it's like you have all these memories as a child of all these things that have happened. You try to forget them, but then they just kind of come back to you as you hear things happening in the world. And I will never forget that first time when I was only 1999, so I was about 13 years of age. We were at the church service Wednesday night, had a service, and that was actually the first bomb that went off. And just few kilometers from where we were. And I'll never forget that moment when our pastor at that time just said, okay, everyone, let's get on our knees and let's start praying. And that was about 3.5 months of bombing of at that time, Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia went through a lot of wars since 1991. The most people have died in the area of Bosnia and Croatia and that whole area, but a lot of refugees have, if you know any of Bosnians, Serbians, Croatians in this area, most of them have come as refugees from that war that took place back in the 90s. And, you know, it just breaks my heart to see what's happening in the world. And I just couldn't sleep last night. I was just praying and praying for the families, praying for children and moms and, you know, because I remember the fear that I had for months of airplanes flying over your head and bombs falling. And at that time, I remember in my mind, nothing really else mattered in life except God and having God in your heart, no matter what happened. And I'm here standing alive and well, and God has brought me here. But I just want to make one point is the Bible talks about the wars and nations standing up against nation, and wars will happen and all these things will happen. But the Bible also talks about the peacemakers. And in Matthew 5, there's a verse that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And we as Christians, we are to pray for peace. We are to preach the peace. We are to preach the hope of Jesus Christ. And we are to be the light, and like we prayed for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. I can't even imagine what they're going through right now, but we can keep them in our prayers, and we can hope and pray that this will end very soon. You know, I'm always so surprised. We live in the 21st century, and we live with all technology and everything that we have available to us that leaders just can't get it together. They can't just sit down and have a normal conversation with people. And it's always been over territory for some reason. You know, territory has always been the big thing. And I just don't believe there is a single life that's worth over a piece of land to be lost. That's my own personal opinion. I think human life is so valuable in God's eyes. And I pray that whatever is happening right now in the world and all across, that it would be that God would use it for good. And then many would come to a salvation, to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because in the end, that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters. So I want to share a message with you this morning on excuses. I'll talk to you a little bit about excuses. I know it was a little bit of a heavy intro. I didn't mean to share that. But it's just with the world and what's going on in the world, I wanted to share with you and encourage you that we have our hope in Christ. And I'm here standing as an example of that hope. And a lot of people here as well. And that is what we look for. That's what we hope for. That's what we put our trust in. And that's what we're going to look towards. But I want to talk to you about excuses and how in life, this whole thing about starting and doing something, this whole theme that we've started from the beginning, how often we don't start something or we don't do something because of an excuse. We will come up with an excuse and then we'll tell ourselves, well, you know, I can't do it, I won't do it, I won't start because, and then we'll come up with an excuse. And I think that's one of the things that we're all familiar with. We all have made excuses in our life. Maybe on your way to church this morning, you made a couple of them You know, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to wear this, I'm going to do that, or this and that. All the little excuses that you've made to come up. And I think we're a generation, we are known as someone that will just easily, I make excuses every day. If I count them, I probably won't be able to count them all. But just to point one, when it comes to our kids are the cutest. They always have the best excuses. Our youngest one is just learning to speak right now, and he's trying to have a conversation and talk to us. And he still doesn't really fully grasp what kind of excuse he can come up with to give us, you know. But he's getting good at it. But we're teaching him now how to, you know, before he pulls out toys to play with, he needs to put the other ones away. And it's like the process, you know, it's a long process. But lately he's been telling us, we ask him, so before you take this one out, put this one in. And then, you know, we tell him, and he just looks at us, he says, I can't. What do you mean you can't? You have to listen to us. You have to put it away. I can't. It's like he almost doesn't have anything to say, you know, and then we'll say, okay, why? Why can't you do it? And he looks at us, he goes, well, I'm just a baby. And, you know, that was actually a real excuse that he's come up with. But I'm just amazed how even the kids, you know, will come up with excuses. And I've heard of I've used some of the most ridiculous excuses. I've heard of other people making excuses. But really, this is what excuse is. It's an attempt to lessen the blame attached to a fault or the offense, or seek to defend or justify something. I've heard of the most ridiculous ones, like people going to work and then calling their boss and telling them they can't show up. And then some of the funny ones that just mentioned here, one of the funny ones I saw was, I broke my foot after I got up from the toilet. My refrigerator fell on me. That's a good one. I poked myself in the eye with a hairbrush, for all the women in the house. I even heard, this was actually a real one, I broke my arm as I was trying to reach for a sandwich. Or, I'm sorry, I did not put gas in my car, so I can't come to work. And this whole thing about doing something and accomplishing something and doing something that God is calling us to do, I really believe if we don't do what God is calling us to do, we don't do it because we have some sort of excuse. And the matter of fact is, excuses do not burn calories. Because if they did, we would all be very skinny, including myself. But this is what they say: if it's not important to you, you will find an excuse. But if it's important to you, you will find a way to do it. So I'm going to share a couple of excuses in the scripture of some of the great men of God that have made excuses over time that I believe we'll be able to relate with. When I was looking at the scriptures, I even was reading some of the Jesus' stories about excuses. A gentleman came up to him and said, well, you know, I can't come. Jesus said, follow me. And he said, well, I can't follow you. I got to go and bury my dad. And I got to go say bye to my family. Jesus, well, says, you know what? You're not worth to be my follower. And then there was a story when the banquet was getting ready for the bride. And all these rich, famous people were invited to it. But then they all made excuses saying, well, you know, I've got to go and I've got to take care of my land and my business and this and that. And then Jesus said, and the story says, well, the master said, you know what, let's just invite everybody. Just let everybody come and let all the people that make excuses live with their excuses for the rest of their life. Jesus mentioned it. But then a lot of great men of God, starting from our own father and mother, Adam and Eve, from the beginning, making an excuse of why they did what they did. And Adam blaming Eve for, you know, well, she made me do it. Then you go a little bit in the scripture, then you see Jonah, Gideon, like a lot of great men of God that have made certain excuses. Abraham himself, when God said, I'll make you a father of many nations, came up with an excuse. How can I be a father of many nations? I can't even. I'm 90 years old. How am I going to have a baby? You've got Moses. I'm gonna mention some of the excuses that Moses made. And I'm gonna go through a couple of excuses that I think we can all relate with and hopefully take something away from this morning. But the only thing that's standing between where we are now and where God wants us to be is just an excuse. And a lot of people don't realize that, but we make excuses for a lot of things that we're supposed to do, we're supposed to accomplish. We make excuses for, and we don't accomplish. One of the most famous excuses that I found and that when I was reading the scripture is the age excuse. Abraham mentioning, I'm too old. Sarah saying, how can I have a baby when I'm too old? Or Jeremiah, was it Jeremiah in 1:7 saying, well, I'm only a youth. Like, how can I do anything? And then Paul was telling his Timothy, one of the young guys that was under him, saying, you know, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. There's no excuses. Just do what you're called to do. So the age excuse, I'm too young, I'm too old. Well, if we don't settle with I'm too young or too old, then we settle with, well, I'm middle age. I can't do anything anymore. My back hurts. You know, I just don't sleep well at night, you know. And I got to worry about this and I got to worry about that. So that's the age excuse that a lot of people use. But I want to read a scripture from because this encounter of Moses and God talking about about delivering the nation of Israel from Egypt is long. It's Exodus 3 and 4, and you can read it at your own. I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures. But Pastor Ken has mentioned this at the very beginning of this year about the whole thing about starting and how the deliverance of the nation of Israel started, and then Moses led them through, and it was this amazing thing that happened. But before the amazing, we all talk about the results and how amazing it is and how crazy God came through and God did some miracles and some amazing things, but nobody talks about the very beginning conversation that God had with Moses. And God had this conversation he had in mind for Moses to deliver his people, and he was the guy who was cut out for the job, except Moses didn't feel like he was the guy to do it. And we're going to just read this chapter 3 and 4. I'm going to read some scriptures from chapter 3, 10 through 15, and then chapter 4 and a couple of verses there. But let's just read this on. So he chooses him, he starts talking to him, and this is a conversation. So now go, God says to Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, well, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that this is who I have sent you. This is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? There's another excuse. Well, God said to Moses, I am who I am, and this is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord of God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name that you shall call me from generation to generation. And then chapter 4 goes verse 1. Moses answered, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What should I say? Should they listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, well, what is that you have in your hand? A staff, he replied. And then there's a whole story about how he threw the staff down, became a snake, picked it up, and became a rod as well. Again, and that whole miracle thing that happened. And then verse 10, it says, Moses said to the Lord, well, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant. After all the excuses that he has made, this is the last one. Pardon me, God. Just please send someone else. And then we know the story how later on what happened. He finally got up and went. But he was an excuse after excuse after excuse with God himself. And don't you feel like that sometimes? Like God asks you to do something. God wants you to start something. God wants you to accomplish something. And you, the first thing that comes to your mind, but I can't because I don't know if I can because of this. And then if that's not good enough excuse, well, God, you know, there's this thing. No, I can't. It's just come up with an excuse after excuse after excuse. And I have a feeling like God is just kind of waiting there. Just like, mm-hmm. Okay. Not good enough. Mm-hmm. What else? What else you got to say? So Moses himself was also 80 years old when he was asked to do this. So I'm sure he also felt all these excuses, kind of settled in life, had a lot going on, accomplished, had a family. Too old to do this. I can't do this. Who's going to listen to an old guy? I can't do this. But age is just a number in the book of God. I've noticed that as I read scripture more and more. So let's just share a couple of excuses that he has given to God and then what God's answer was and how it applies to us. One of the excuses was, well, I am not adequate for the task. He said in verses 11, chapter 3, he says, who am I? Moses asked. He felt inadequate. He felt that he wasn't up for the job. And that was the right way to feel. Humanly speaking, we all at times feel inadequate. We feel like we are not really cut out for our job. And he was right, because by himself, he was inadequate, just as we are too in our human nature. We often don't start and don't do what God is calling us to do because we look around ourselves and we maybe pay attention to the people around us. They're more accomplished, more successful, more talented, more able, more experienced, more educated. And then we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. We often focus on our shortcomings and what's missing. Well, I don't feel inadequate because I'm not like this or I'm not like that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Because we focus on the things that are missing, we miss out on the potential and the view of God, the view that God has of us and our position with God. We often have things holding us back because we focus on those things that are missing. And hardly do we ever focus on how adequate am I? What can I do? Our mind always goes to, well, I'm not adequate. I don't think I can do that. But God's reply to Moses is simply this. To this, I'm not adequate. I'm not up for a job. I don't have education. I have this. I have that. His response is this. I will be with you. So, which means this. The deliverance of the people of Israel did not depend on Moses' ability and how adequate he was, but it actually depended on the power, presence, and sufficiency of God. And when God selects people for his purposes, and just before I go anywhere else, I want to make this statement. God has a plan for your life, and God has a task for you, and God has a calling upon your life. When God selects people to serve his purposes, which is you and me, he always provides his resources for them to be successful in that. We've heard this statement many times, that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. So if we feel inadequate, that's not God. It's our own human nature. It's us focusing on the wrong things. It is God's power and strength that makes us more than adequate to do whatever he wants us to do. And the truth is, we will always feel inadequate when we're asked to do something if God is outside of the picture, if God is not a part of our picture. So that was an excuse, number one. I'm not adequate for the task. Number two, the second one that Moses made is, I don't know enough. Verse 13, he says, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? He was afraid that Israelites might ask him a question that he will not be able to respond to. And how many times do we not start something or go ahead in the call that God is calling us to do because we think that we don't know enough about that certain subject or about that certain thing that we are to do? And we've heard this before, I'll say it again. Say yes, then go and find out how to do it. Just do it. You know, it's a motto of a Nike company, and it's not just a motto. I really believe it's a big truth. Just do it. Just go for it. Never be afraid to do something because you don't know a lot about it. Most of the time in the process, with God's help, we will figure out the way because God is with us. We begin the process, but then God graciously, with his grace, carries us through the whole thing. And then at the end of it, we look back and we say, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing that I wasn't trusting my own knowledge and what I know, whether I know enough, but it was God who knew it this whole time. He knew the whole thing way before I even stepped into it. And people in our culture will say, well, you know, knowledge is power. It's all about just knowing stuff. Well, kind of, but we know that experience is also very valuable. We don't need to know knowledge, but what we need to know is who God is. And this is what the response was to Moses. God answered to Moses, he says, tell this to the people of Israel, I am. This is who I am. Say, I am has sent me. You know, in this response, God really revealed himself. And we shouldn't be worried about having all the answers or knowing everything. Because when we say, I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable enough, God says, okay, that's fine. I am. Just trust me. I am. God is smart enough. He has the answers. If we look to him, if we look to his word to guide us, he will lead us through. Another excuse that Moses had for God was, well, people will not take me seriously. Verse 1 in chapter 4. Well, what if they won't believe me and will not obey what I have to say? Well, they ask, the Lord did not appear to you. Did the Lord appear to you? So God already promised Moses in the chapter 3:18, he says, I'll tell you what to say. But then he still was worried about whether people will take him seriously. And in our own day-to-day life relationships, people will usually, when we want to do something, accomplish, and have a big idea of how God is calling us to do something, we'll always usually get a negative response. People say, are you serious? Really? You? No. Seriously? And what happens then is what we start doing is then we start comparing ourselves with others around us. And we feel like, well, people will not take me seriously. I'm just a young guy. I don't think these people will take me seriously. And then we start comparing ourselves with others. And the comparison really in itself is a trap of the enemy. Someone once said, well, the fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. And most times we don't start or we don't do what God is calling us to do because we compare ourselves to others. I'll never be good enough as them. I'll never be as good as them. The social media has become such a fad and everybody's comparing themselves to others and how great of a life everybody else has and how I don't have it all together and they got it all together. And all this fake news and fake posts. But when you really think about it, when you just focus on what God is calling you to do and you don't focus on what people are saying around you and stop comparing yourself to everybody around you, you we'll see the fruits of it, and you will see how God is going to do some mighty work through your life. We are to stop paying attention to what he or she or they said, and start paying attention to what God said. What did God say? Nobody has ever done anything great or successful by comparing themselves to others. We're all different. We all have different abilities, different talents that God has given us. We all have a special call that's unique for us personally in our life. And that's what we should focus on. We should focus on our uniqueness, on the calling and the gifting God has given us. The greatest thing about Christian life is that God is giving us, he's made us special, and he's with us. He's the one who shows up. He's the one who heals. He's the one who delivers. So we don't have to be going around telling people, well, you know, this and that. We can be confident in what God is doing in our life, and we don't have to compare ourselves with others. We can say, well, God has already done amazing things in my life, and I don't have to worry about what anybody else says. I can just keep moving forward into all that he has for me. Response that God gave to Moses was simply this. Well, if people didn't take you seriously, I'm going to show some powerful signs and perform some miracles through you, and then they will take you seriously. And you know what's so amazing about this Christian life is we have God who constantly does amazing miracles in our life. And we have something to account for. We have tangible things that God has done in our lives that nobody else can say anything against. And that we can reference to and say, well, God has done this in my life. Who are you to think that he won't do it again? God has done this. Who are you to think that I'm not going to be able to do it? So God promised Moses that he shouldn't worry about what's going on. He should just worry about what God is doing in and through him. One of the other excuses that he has given as well to God is, I'm not eloquent enough. I can't, which in our simple language is, I'm not good with words. I can't communicate. I can't talk. And this can really refer to any gifting that we have as humans. You can say, well, I'm not as good as them, or I'm not good at that as they are. And this is often an excuse that a lot of people will come up with, say, well, I'm just not. You know, for me personally, when I was starting to speak publicly back almost 10 years ago now, when I look at my life and where I was and where I'm at right now, is when I was starting, I really felt inadequate. Like, who's going to listen to me? I'm just a 20-some-year-old. I have nothing to say. And I don't even know what to speak. I don't even know what to do. I mean, and then we find ourselves, and I was comparing myself to other great preachers and, you know, Pastor Ken, and saying to myself, you know, I was a part of a lot of sermons where people have fallen asleep. I don't want to be just another teacher or whatever preacher that people would just fall asleep to, you know? And that's how I was looking at myself, that I wasn't good enough. I just can't do it. I have nothing to say. And then I was talking to another young leader who I asked to share something, and he said, well, you know, there's like two biggest fears that most humans have. It's public speaking or death. So you better just kill me right now because I'm never going to speak publicly. It really is true with most people. They're afraid of speaking. But you know what I've realized in life? That everything is learned. Everything is practiced. Yeah. Everything is developed. Every gift that God has given us. And it's not us. It is the Spirit of God in us that speaks through us. The words and the seeds that will come out that we don't even have to worry about. Sometimes we get too concerned. Well, what am I going to say? Well, in moments like that, all you have to do is just let God speak through you. And I've seen that happen in my life many times where I feel like sometimes when I'm sharing or saying something, people will say, I think to myself, that was like the worst I've ever done in my entire life. And then somebody else is going to come and say, wow, that every single word that you said spoke to me. And it actually just happened after the first service. I went to a gentleman. He said, your message was terrible. And I said, oh, really? Okay, that's okay. Thank you. He goes, it was terrible because every single word was for me personally. long story short, we had a good conversation. But in all this, what I like to say, this is what God told Moses. And this is the response that God, I believe, would tell us right now. If we say, well, I'm not good enough at this. Who placed a mouth on humans? Is God's response. Who makes a person mute or deaf? Who makes them see or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Wow. So God is the one who gives us the words. God is the one who speaks to us in our spirit. You don't have to worry what you're going to say. Even in the scripture, it talks about the end times and how Christians will be persecuted. And this is happening all over the world already. It's been happening for ever since Jesus was crucified. And you know what amazing promise that Jesus left with all of us? You don't have to be afraid of what you're going to say. At that time, the Spirit will speak through you what you are to say. So it is not us. It is the Spirit of God in us. We don't have to worry. Excuse number five that Moses made, which is like the last excuse that I'm going to end with, the sixth in total. And he said, I'm not willing. He said this, 4:13. Please, Lord, just send someone else. Not me. After he was exhausted with all the excuses, God, just not me, okay? It's got to be someone else. Like Phil even shared, you know, it's got to be another elder. Why me? You know, why do I have to be the one? In our society, well, why? Why can't you do it? Well, I just can't. Why? Well, just because. I just can't. Just because. And this was really not an excuse. What it revealed really was the real issue. And this was the issue. God, he made a promise that he will be offered, for every promise, he's going to offer the provision. But then this was, when he ran out of all excuses, this was the bottom of it. And it was that Moses revealed that the heart of the problem was a problem of the heart. It was his heart that was the problem. I don't want to do this. And this really was the real issue, isn't it? It's not really like all the other excuses he has given, but this was really the real root issue. I don't really want to do it. We're simply not willing to step out in faith and obey God. But what we need to do is we need to deal with our heart, and we need to let God deal with our heart first. We need to ask God to change our heart, which is where all the issues of life flow, the depths of our heart. This is where the life is. In order for us to do something great for God, to start something, or to accomplish great things for God, we need to go deeper into our heart. And we need to pray God's will and God's way into our life. So, we can have many excuses. Many excuses, and I believe I'm still sitting on some excuses. And I don't make a message. I usually make it for myself, praying that God will speak to someone that's listening. But, you know, what excuses are you making to God right now for some of the things that he's asked you to do or wants you to accomplish? It really boils down to this one thing: lack of trust and lack of unwillingness to obey God. But because God has a plan for all of us to carry out his plan, his mission in this world, you are the plan of God. You are a part of God's plan. No excuses. It's not them. It's you. And it's amazing to see in the scripture that God's ultimate answer to every excuse that everybody has ever come up with, whether it's leading the people through the land, out of the land, into the promised land, whether whatever other excuse there was, this was the answer, ultimate answer, and this is what God said. I am with you. I am all that you need, and let me demonstrate my power through you. That was always God's answer for any excuse that was made in the scriptures. And what I want to end with this morning is simply this. The same question that God asked Moses when he was having all these excuses, God asked him, there was only one question that he asked him, and that was, what is in your hand? And what Moses had in his hand was a simple rod, a stick. That really didn't mean much. It was just a simple stick. If we had a stick right now, it's just nothing. There's no life in it. But what happened is when he released what we had in his hand, and he let it go and he gave it to God, God was able to do some incredible things through him. And that's how the whole thing started. He was able to take land, the whole nation of Israel, into the promised land because he gave that one thing that he had in his hand. And my question for you this morning is, what do you have in your hand? What is it that you have, not what you lack? What has God given you? And we all have three things in our life. A lot of people will say, well, three biggest excuses is I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough talent. And how do we combat this? How do we overcome these excuses? Simply by asking this question, okay, I don't have this, I don't have that. What is it that we have? How much time do we have out of 156 hours in a week that we can dedicate? Is it 10 minutes? Okay, let's start with 10 minutes. I don't have any money. I don't know. I don't know how I can help. Okay, what is it that you have? Where are you spending that you maybe can cut off for a little bit and just extra $5 a month or whatever that you can help someone? Okay, let's start with $5 a month. Talent. Well, I have zero talent. I'm yet to meet a person that says that they really can't do a single thing if they're able and obviously able to walk and talk. What is it that I can do? Not things that I can't, but what is it that I can do right now? So first we need to start to focus on the things that we do have, not what we don't have. And then second, we need to realize that God is with us. Start with what you have and what you've been entrusted with already. Don't make excuses, because the only thing that's standing between where we are now and where God wants us to be is an excuse. And you know what I've realized? I've realized that if we make an excuse, God is going to use someone else. And I'm sure in this story, if Moses wasn't up, if he really ended up not doing it, somebody else would come up and do it. But there's such a joy and blessing in being used by God. If God wants to rule you in, why would you rule yourself out of the blessing and joy of being a part of this kingdom of God on this earth? So as we stand this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray over you. I want to pray that we would become a people of willingness and a heart that is so close to God that when he calls us to do something, we just step out and we just do it. We don't make an excuse, but we just go ahead and we do it. So Father, we're just grateful for your power in us. That's evident, for your presence in us, for your strength in us. We thank you for every single person that's in this room right now. I thank you for the call and the purpose and the plan that you have for every single individual in this room. I know your plans are great. Your purposes are amazing. And I pray that everyone in this room would gain courage to look to you for strength and guidance into all that you have for them, God. That we would not be a people of excuse, but that we would follow you, Holy Spirit, your power in us, every step of the way, that we would not be distracted, but that we would focus on you, Jesus, on your cross, on your sacrifice, and on your plan for our life. Bless everyone, and may everyone experience your peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you're coming tonight for impartation service, look forward to seeing you here tonight. Have a wonderful